Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat Podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is what you might call Joe Biden and the powerless presidency. The president of the United States who has no power to deal with some of the most important issues facing the country. Now, there's no doubt that inflation is the most pressing concern of Americans right now. All the polls show it. You can look at them poll after poll after poll. All the data shows it, and everybody just personally knows it. I mean, just know that inflation is the most pressing concern today. Now, the president, Joe Biden, will not admit that his policies and his party's policies have made inflation worse, and that if they had their way, they would make it worse still. He just can't say that. I mean, how could he? You know, I've made inflation worse, and I tried to make it even worse than that. He really can't come out and say that. So instead, his reaction has been a mixture of denial, of finger-pointing, of ineffective gestures, and perhaps most of all, the argument that he, as president of the United States, is virtually powerless to address the nation's most pressing concern. Don't know if you saw him on Jimmy Kimmel a while back. He said, look, inflation is the bane of our existence. Now, he says this in a very sympathetic forum, the Jimmy Kimmel late night show. As a matter of fact, Kimmel was so sympathetic that he didn't even ask Biden about inflation. Didn't even ask. Biden brought it up himself, but he didn't have much to say. And remember that when Biden published his plan to fight inflation in the Wall Street Journal, I think that was on May the 30th, his first measure was not to do anything himself, but to let the Federal Reserve do the job of fighting inflation. His role as the president, Biden said, was not to say anything mean about the Fed. That was his role as president. Do not say anything mean about the Fed. Now, as for all the other stuff that Biden is doing in the name of fighting inflation, all that other stuff, there are reports that he knows that it won't do any good. Okay. On April 12th, Biden travels to Iowa. He goes to an ethanol plant, and the claim is that alternative fuels will lower energy costs. So going to the ethanol plant, of course, that's been a big Democratic thing for many, many years, big thing for everybody, actually, who campaigns in Iowa. Going to the ethanol plant is part of Biden's effort, his campaign, to show you that he is fighting inflation. And he tells you that ethanol has a role to play in this fight against inflation. So let's hear just a little bit of what Biden said it's April 12th in Iowa.
But I'm here today because homegrown biofuels have a role to play right now, as we work to get prices under control and reduce the cost for families.
Okay, that's Joe Biden telling you that ethanol will help get prices under control. Okay. Now, we've recently had reports that he knows this is bunk. He knows there's nothing to it. As a matter of fact, the Washington Post published an article. It was about how Biden is frustrated by his inability to make any progress against inflation. And it focuses, it even opens with this trip to Iowa. Okay, so this is what the Washington Post reported. Privately, Biden dismissed the ethanol policy as ineffective and questioned the value of the trip, Washington Post continuing, after returning to the White House, he hauled his senior staff, including Chief of Staff Ron Klain, into the Oval Office, badgering them with questions about the purpose of the event. So he knew that the whole thing was kind of BS before he went there, and he took part in it all, and it shows that Joe Biden is fighting inflation, but he knows it's not doing any good. So now, the persistence of inflation has become even more serious in the last few days with this growing realization that the Federal Reserve might have to intentionally drive the nation into recession in order to bring inflation down, which is reminiscent of the strategy that the Fed chairman in the 1980s, Paul Volcker, used. It was successful and very painful, led to a serious recession, but it squeezed inflation out of the economy. Bloomberg reported, quote, an increasing number of economists say it may take an economic contraction and higher unemployment to bring inflation down to more tolerable levels much less back to the Fed's 2% price target. So there's this sense that the Federal Reserve may actually have to bring on a recession in order to bring this inflation under control. So the Fed meets this week. Their expectations, it's going to raise interest rates half a point, maybe even 0.75 points. And the meeting comes just a few days after the government reported inflation rose 8.6% on an annualized basis in the month of May. Now, you might have seen the many reports that characterize this increase as unexpected. Inflation unexpectedly rises. I mean, but the fact is, there's never been any consensus that inflation has peaked, and we don't know that now. It's entirely reasonable to expect more. Now, the price increases were particularly dramatic in the things that Americans need and use the most, starting with food. Price of meat, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 14.2% on an annual basis in May. Price of non-alcoholic beverages, 12%. Dairy went up 11.8%. Cereals and bakery products up 11.6%. Price of miscellaneous food products, 12.6%. Cost of eating out, if you're not going to buy groceries and cook, cost of eating out went up 9%. Price of used cars and trucks, 16.1%, went up 16.1% on an annual basis. Price of new vehicles went up 12.6%. Price of clothing went up 5%. Price of shelter, a combination of measurement of people who rent and who own their houses, price of shelter went up 5.4%. And then there was energy, astronomical price increases. Price of gasoline went up 48.7% on an annualized basis in the month of May. Price of fuel oil went up an incredible 106.7%. Okay, this is a really bad report. So what did President Biden say when the news broke that inflation hit 8.6% last month? He said, quote, "Today's inflation report confirmed what Americans already know. Putin's price hike is hitting America hard." There it is again, blaming it on Vladimir Putin. So we should say, yes, the war in Ukraine is contributing to higher energy prices around the world. But remember this, it is now generally acknowledged that Biden's policies, like the way, way, way too big $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, the stimulus bill, have made inflation worse. And specifically, on the question of energy, a lot of people, clear-eyed critics, knew this at the very beginning of Biden's time in office, that his actions would lead to higher energy prices. Why? Because he told us so. Now, there was an incredible article in the Washington Post on November 12, 2020. Biden had just been elected. He had not taken office yet, and it was a prediction about what would happen to gas prices under a President Joe Biden. Just an extraordinary article, and I'm going to talk about that next.
The chance for nuclear war increases every day that the war in Ukraine continues. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, national security expert Brandon Weikert and I also discuss how China is weaker than Russia in one key area, why Taiwan's defenses are dangerously weak, and how Joe Biden wants to make the same mistake with Iran that we did with China. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm back. I told you I was going to talk about an incredible article published in the Washington Post, November 12, 2020. You know, actually, before I do that, I do want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, maybe even learning something from the podcast, it would be really great if you could subscribe to the podcast. Really easy to do. You can do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. Really, really appreciate it. So, November 12, 2020, the Washington Post publishes an article that says, Joe Biden has just been elected president, not taken office, wouldn't take office until January 2021. Article says, quote, this is a headline, "Conservatives predict gas prices will spike under Biden. Experts say those fears are overblown." So, the thrust of the article is the Washington Post trying to knock down the, quote, conservatives who said that the price of gas would go up under Joe Biden. But in hindsight, those conservatives look pretty darn prescient. I'm going to read from the article. Quote, a dubious meme has emerged online in conservative circles. the price of gasoline will spike because Joe Biden is taking office. Conservative corners of Facebook are filled with viral photos of gas stations with prices above $5 a gallon. I'm going to read you this again. A dubious meme has emerged online in conservative circles. The price of gasoline will spike because Joe Biden is taking office. Conservative corners of Facebook are filled with viral photos of gas stations with prices above $5 a gallon. Imagine that. Gas above $5 a gallon? That is insane. What will those crazy fear-mongering conservatives think of next? Okay, let's just say the article has not aged well. But the point to remember is that those predictions of rising energy costs, those correct predictions of rising energy costs, had nothing to do with Vladimir Putin. They were based entirely on Joe Biden's policies, and this was before he entered office, to begin to enact those policies. Now, there are growing fears of recession. Now, while there has been some disagreement among economists, because there's always disagreement among economists about whether a recession is in fact on the way, the coming Federal Reserve actions have intensified those concerns. And that has created the fear that we might be in for a replay of the 1970s, with President Joe Biden playing the role of President Jimmy Carter. Now, more than half of the U.S. population was born after 1980. They have no personal memory of this time. Hopefully they've read about it. But the older half will remember the terrible inflation and successive recessions that occurred during what is called America's Great Inflation. That's what the former Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, called it in a recent article in the New York Times. So how great was that recession? I'm going to read from Bernanke. From the beginning of 1966 through 1981, the consumer price index rose on average by more than 7% per year, peaking at over 13% in 1980. This period also saw two major and two minor recessions and an approximately two-thirds decline in the Dow Jones Industrial Average when adjusted for inflation. Okay, from years 1966 through 1981, 15 years in a row, the consumer price index rose by 7% per year. One year, it was over 13%. That is a long time. Really, really bad. Now, Bernanke argues that we are not in for a similarly extended period of misery, because now the Fed knows more about using interest rates to fight inflation. Earlier Fed chairmen during that great inflation period, like Arthur Burns, didn't use interest rates to try to squeeze inflation out of the system. Paul Volcker did. A lot of pain, very big success. Okay, so Bernanke is arguing that the Fed won't let that happen again. But then again, you know, Bernanke didn't really see the Great Recession coming when he was in power, so who knows? There's one thing about this 1970s and 2020s comparison that does ring true. Joe Biden is indeed playing the role of Jimmy Carter. Although, I should say, you know, Carter was elected. He was 52 years old when he was elected. He was sharp. He was energetic. Biden, who will turn 80 this November, is not. He's not sharp. He's not energetic. But he's still playing the Carter role. Now, that difference in the two men, Biden being old and slowing down, is perhaps what prompted Tom Cotton, the Republican senator, to tweet recently, "These Jimmy Carter comparisons are very unfair to Jimmy Carter." In any event, there was a sense way back when that Carter was powerless to deal with the severity of the nation's problems. Perhaps the nation had become ungovernable, people said. Now today, something similar is happening with Joe Biden in the White House. Now, after Jimmy Carter came a president who knew how to govern, and the United States became governable again. Might that happen after Joe Biden? We don't know, and we certainly should hope that things do not get as bad under Joe Biden as they got under Jimmy Carter. All Americans should hope that. It's not wishing great success on your political opponent. It's just wishing the best thing for the country. So we should hope that things do not get as bad now as they got in the 1970s. But there is this similarity. Something similar is happening with Joe Biden in the White House. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. The powerless presidency, the most powerful man in the world, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, whatever you want to call it, being powerless to deal with some of the nation's most pressing problems. And that's what we seem to have with the current White House. So very glad you could listen. Always appreciate it when you can listen, and hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Hey guys, we know it's hard to keep up with all the news these days, but don't worry, because we're here to talk and laugh about it all. Democrats are still stuck on January 6th and everything Trump. Biden is acting like the economy is fine. And after a Texas bar held a drag show for kids, it's clear that woke culture is coming for our children. Hey, it's the Chicks here from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture. Nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.